The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them. But the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise ones replied, "No, for there may not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves." And while they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the doors were locked. Afterwards, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So many years ago, I read a book called In the Shadow of His Wings. Remember how he came across it, someone gave it to me or not, but it's an autobiography by a man named Father Goldman. It's really about the first part of his life. Pretty astounding book. It's a bit of a page-turner. If you get a chance to read it, it's well worth reading. In the Shadow of His Wings. But again, he was German, lived in the 20th century, and so he was, as a young man, a seminarian, right during the time of the Nazis coming to power in Germany and then World War II. And as a seminarian, he was forced to enter into the German military. He was actually put in the SS for a while. Part of the amazing part of his story is his ability, his choice to continue to remain firm in his faith, to not compromise his faith amidst all sorts of tremendous challenges, being in the midst of Germany, a country that he loves under a government that is horrifically unjust and evil, and the way that God, time and again, kind of really preserves and protects him. Think about other, there's this reality in our lives when we live our faith. At times, there's the opportunity to witness, even with our lives, think of St. Maximilian Kolbe in World War II, giving up his life, laying down his life for not even a friend, a stranger, witnessing to that love of God. Your part of Father Goldman's life, his story, his witness was in the midst of many pressures to compromise his faith, not doing it. Well, at one point he was serving in the military as a medic of some sort. He actually went through the whole war never having had to fire a shot. But he was in Italy with the German army as a medic, and he's helping all of these injured and dying soldiers, and you know, many of them were Catholic. They felt like us, they need the sacraments. And so here he is in Italy at this time too, in the church. He's a layman, he couldn't just kind of go up and knock on the close parish and say, "Hey, I need four hosts, I need the Eucharist to take this." No, he had to get a bishop's written permission. And so he actually, in order to do that, got permission from a bishop by using a gun. Read his story, it's amazing in parts, but the bishop finally agreed to give him that permission, and so he was able then, for a time, be able to bring the Eucharist to his soldiers, to Catholics who were dying, who were injured. And they had the wide range of experiences on how they kind of responded to that opportunity. I've heard the phrase that there are no atheists in foxholes. Maybe you've heard that before. Kind of implying that in a moment like that, we're faced with our own mortality and perhaps a minute of death, everyone becomes a believer. Well, that's not really true. He shared one experience where there was a man, obviously a Catholic, who was injured, who was dying, and offered him the Eucharist. And the man said, "I don't want that crap. Give me a cigarette." Jesus' parable today is about how there's a definitive moment. Like, what we do here matters eternally. And either we're going to choose heaven and God, or we're not. And that ultimate choice is honor. God made us all for heaven. He made us for happiness, an abundant life beyond our expectation and desires. And yet, being made in his image to love, he can't force that. And so there's this mystery, his parable today, speaking about wisdom and foolishness and this choice. And then he wants us to be ready. He says, stay awake. It's not, don't fall asleep physically. And even in the parable, all 10 virgins fell asleep, but 5 were prepared in a way that the others weren't. And again, in the parable, it's the image of oil, a material thing. And from the very beginning of the church, throughout all of church, we've understood Jesus isn't talking about something that is material, right? With what we have material, we're meant to share. So it's not like, well, sometimes don't be generous. But what Jesus is saying is there is something that he has given to us, something that we need, that in a way we can't share with one another. That it's up to each of us to make sure we have. It's our faith, it's the Holy Spirit. We're meant to witness for sure. And that love and the faith lived helps both each other and others receive that faith and grow in that faith. But it's not something that I can like give in the same way that I can give an extra shirt if I have it. And Jesus makes it clear that that's not just a one and done thing, but we want to continue to keep that faith alive, to be ready every day, to not kind of grow weary or, as Jesus put it, drowsy, when it comes to living our faith each day. I don't know anymore that story of that soldier, or think if I recall, he didn't live, but he might have lived longer, but, and of course, Jesus is our judge. Thanks be to God for that, Jesus and no one else. And I don't really know, we don't really know exactly what was going on in that man's mind and heart at that moment when he was offered the Eucharist, but we can say probably his kind of subjective experience, his experience was, is that's not really important. A cigarette would be better than that, certainly his response. His subjective view didn't change the reality that he was wrong, the reality of what he was being offered and what he chose instead. It's part of our faith. Our faith is not just wishful thinking. It's not something to help us feel better, though it can. It's helping us grasp reality. Faith and reason together help us to see reality, and faith helps us to see parts of reality that reason can't get to fully. But they never contradict one another. At times, our subjective experience can lead us towards, this is more important. We want to pay attention to our faith. What does our faith say when it comes to God and others and how to live this life in a way that leads to happiness, that leads to heaven? Your true homeland, my true homeland, helps us to stay awake. Our readings are all about wisdom in some way, huh? Being wise, ultimately. And the first reading is before Jesus came, it kind of personifies wisdom. We know that wisdom, Jesus came not just giving us wisdom, but he is that wisdom. He's God's wisdom himself. So it's always this fine, where is Jesus? How do I abide in Jesus? Our second reading is all about this sure and certain hope that we have in Jesus. If we're in Jesus, and the reading's all about, right, when we die, Paul is saying it's absolutely certain that everyone who dies in Christ will rise with him on the last day. And that's a sure and certain hope. That's something that's more sure and certain than the ground I'm standing on. Because it's God who tells us that, who reveals that, who promises that, the God who made the sure and found the sure and certain ground that we stand on. And so that's not wishful thinking. You say the hope that we talk about that we have in God is something that we don't have yet, but because God promises it to us, we know it's certain, and it's almost as though we have it already. And yet it's to die in Christ. How do I die in Christ? To abide in him. Where do I find him? Surely in the scriptures and in the faith and tradition and the sacraments of his church. We want to continue to persevere. Let's ask for that grace. You know, Jesus is here. You're here today. It's a choice you've made. Unless maybe your parents dragged you here making that choice. Be attentive in your daily life. Am I choosing the wise thing? Am I putting anything before God? It's in our daily prayer. Maybe, again, sometimes it's in choosing God when it comes to the sacraments. Sometimes we experience how good it is and how important it is, and that's easy to choose first. But sometimes other things can seem more important. And one of the dangers, one of the temptations is as though, well, God is love. He loves me. He's merciful. He understands. He does love us. He's more merciful than we could ever imagine. But he made us for himself. And he's always there pointing out the dangers, trying to help us to choose. And in our weakness, when we don't choose him first, it's to run to him in his mercy. But it's to acknowledge that, to not push it aside as though, no big deal. This seems more important to me right now. God understands. He does understand. And what he understands is you and I were made for him. As he says today, we can choose something else more important than him. But we're made for him. And if we end up ultimately choosing that, foolishness, locked out rather than within. Just be encouraged in Jesus. Where do we find our hope? Where do you find your hope? An unshakable hope. In Jesus.